Wednesday, January 25th, 1895. A day notable for lambent hopes and clouded prospects.
Victoria Station by Steve Chambers with Philip Jackson and Sean Baker. Episode 4, Fog Warnings.
Gentlemen, freezing fog this morning. Visibility is very poor, so the usual precautions will be in operation. Expect delays and slow running, Mr. Moss.
Station Master. The area manager, Mr. Cripps, is due today. He is bringing a doctor who will administer eye tests in preparation for the accident inquiry next week.
I don't like the sound of this.
It's nothing to do with me.
The following employees will be examined. The station master, driver Wheeler, porter Robson.
Told you.
Assistant clerk Jackson.
Me?
That's enough, Jackson.
But I mean to say, it's got nothing to do with me.
You are on the list, so you will take the test. Sir. Signalman Roberts will return from suspension for the examination. And the final name is Apprentice Signalman Sidney Harrison.
What do they want me for? I'm just a clerk.
It wasn't my fault, Robert.
It doesn't matter whose fault it was, Sid. They can get anyone they like now.
They can't blame me, Mr. Braddock. I lit that signal lamp like always.
Look, calm down. It's only an eye test. Some of you have been demanding them through your trade association.
Free and fairly administered, not by company men. Bought and paid for.
That is a slur on the medical profession and the company.
He who pays the piper, Mr. Tidmarsh.
Robson, Jackson, go measure the excess coal in the goods yard.
But I mean to say, it's freezing out there.
It should cool you down, then. Anyway, the prying eyes of the coal merchants won't see you in this fog.
Better wear your muffler, Jacko.
Oh, and don't use chains for the measuring. We don't want anyone hearing you before you finish.
If I were you, Sid, I'd have a drink before you see the doctor.
Why?
That eye test hurts something rotten.
Robson, Jackson, on your way. Everybody else, dismissed.
See you later, Sid.
Sidney, I want you to set some detonators and organise the bookies. Off you go.
Yes, Mr. Braddock.
What are we doing out here, Robbo?
Hunting.
On the station forecourt. We'll catch it if we see.
Who's going to see us in this murk? Here she is. Regular as clockwork. Morning, Josie.
Robson, with Jackson. Have you been demoted, Mr. Jackson?
No, we're supposed to be in the goods
yard.
What
Jack always trying to say is it can wait until I've asked you to come out with me and you've said yes.
A dance and a drink and I'll swoon in your arms. Is that your design?
To begin with.
Robson, Jackson, you were ordered to the goods yard, not the forecourt.
Mr. Braddock, we're on our way.
It's not their fault, Dad. I delayed.
I don't doubt it. Go on, then,
Mr. Braddock.
Miss Josie?
Jack.
I will not have you consorting with common men.
I hope you two clashing again. Thought I heard raised voices.
Dad was telling me off for mixing with workmen.
That's rich, Joe. You were a navvy when you ran off with the vicar's daughter. Remember the scandal it caused?
Haven't you got some work to be getting on with, Ada?
Oh, yes, me dog.
I shall be allowed out until 10 o'clock with whomsoever I choose.
While you live under my roof, you'll be back by 9 if I approve of your escort.
You stay out till all hours with no one knowing whether you're alive or dead.
I am the head of the household and a man.
And I'm an independent woman who can think and act for herself.
You can do as your father says, instead of filling your head with daft notions.
What business is it of yours?
Josie, that's enough.
It's all right, Joe, dog. Your best hope, young lady, is to learn obedience. Then you might make a good marriage. I'll see you later.
We took her in. Gave her a job, which she doesn't do that well. The only thing she's any good at is meddling.
You'll be old one day, Josie.
Well, at least I'll be able to come and go as I please.
Get to work.
Mr. Braddock was very angry.
Because Josie liked me, that's why.
He was angry with me, too.
He'll blow over.
Jeopardising my position because of your uncontrolled desire.
Who's talking? I've seen you looking at her.
Blind man.
Excuse me.
All right, sir. That's one bloke who doesn't mind the fog.
But where's he going? He's walking down the platform and away from the footbridge.
Wherever it is, he's been there before, Jacko.
I'd rather you didn't call me that.
Why not? You call me Robbo.
I am a clerk and you are a porter. Miss Josie recognises the difference.
She recognises the man, not the coat he wears.
Give me your arm, Hamish.
I can manage perfectly well, Maura. Get a porter to help you with the luggage.
Porter!
Come, madam.
Is that all right, Mama?
Yes, dear. Porter! Can you help with our luggage? I'm afraid there's rather a lot.
Don't you worry. Jack will get off in a jiffy.
Me? I'm not a porter.
Well, now's your chance to learn. Go on. Yes, sir. Lean on me. That's it.
Thank you.
I'll show them to the third-class waiting room, Jackal. You follow the bag.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full, sir.
That's a nasty cough to be out in the morning like this.
A slight chest cold. Nothing more.
Did you hear the noise at the edge of the station, Mama?
They weren't soldiers. Those bangs were for the train.
Gunpowder charges, so the signalman knows that the train has passed in the fog.
That's what happens when your father and I left for our honeymoon. The station master put them on the line to wish us luck.
For heaven's sake, woman, do not fill the child's head with sentimental rubbish. She's better for knowing the world is harsh and unrelenting than living in a fairy tale.
Here we are, sir, the third class waiting room. Get yourself in front of that fire. That'll warm you through.
Thank you.
Where's your luggage?
Set it down by me.
Right you are.
I hope you are not expecting a tip.
No, sir.
We do not have money to waste on fripperies.
We are on our way to Liverpool to emigrate. Do you know what time our connection is?
It's difficult to say.
Third-class traffic usually bears the brunt of delays in bad weather. So, well, it's a case of wait and see.
You should be warm enough in here. Come on, Jacko.
Calling up for you, Tufnum.
Huh? Oh, Fred Roberts, I thought you were suspended.
I am. They've called me in for an eye test.
Oh, so that's the way things are going, is it?
Looks like it. As long as I've got my health.
Better not let the doctor hear that. He'll catch it anyway if they see you smoking on duty.
I'm not on duty. I'm suspended, remember? So how's the wheel-tapping business?
Getting harder. I can tell the wheels that are done for. It's the ones with another 200 miles in them I can't hear. Well, not like I used to.
Well, none of us are getting any younger. We don't need a doctor to tell us that.
Mm. You know, in the old days, the railway was run by railway people. Now it's been taken over by clerks and office wallers.
Like crips.
Now, what does a Penbusher know about running a railway?
Well, enough for head office to make him area manager. Thinks he knows it all.
Good morning, Fred. Governor.
Morning.
Joe.
What have you been doing with yourself?
Hanging about, waiting for the inquiry to see whether I'm going to get my job back.
You'll not get it back with that attitude.
Was it something special? Were you out for a constitutional?
Cripps and the doctor are delayed because of the fog.
How long for?
We don't know.
Well, I'll go home then.
You don't have to.
All right.
Why don't you go and give Sidan with the fog precautions?
Well, I can't. I'm suspended.
I don't know how long Cripps will be. Do something useful while you're here.
Maybe.
Good. Governor, hurry up with those wheels. I need those engines cleared.
It's not be long now, Mr. Braddock.
I put that pipe out, Fred. While you're working.
Should smile on you, sweetheart. I know you love me so, but I wonder would. Oh, you should have heard them at each other, Phoebe, all over that Port of Robson.
Is that still going on?
Oh, aye. Right, I've finished in here. I'll do the ladies' room now, Doc.
All right, Ada. I can see from here the bits she's missed. Listen to her. She never shuts up. Yap, yap, yap all day long.
There's no point in getting wound up over a man.
I'm not wound up.
Oh, I don't know why you don't go for young Jackson. He's so much nicer.
Jackson?
Mm, excuse me. Yes, madam? A pot of tea for three and one round of fish paste sandwiches.
Coming up.
I was wondering, whether I could possibly take the tea and sandwiches to the third class waiting room.
Oh, it's not allowed.
I need some more water for my bucket, Doc.
You know where it is, Ada.
It's just my husband is rather ill with his chest, and he needs some warm refreshment.
If I did it for you, I'd have to do it for everyone, and then I'd have no crockery left.
He shouldn't be out on a day like today if he's got a bad chest.
He's dying, Sheena. You mustn't say such things.
He's too.
Grandma told me he will get better in Canada.
You'll see.
Grandma said Father will die before we arrive. He'll be all alone there.
She'd no right to say that. Everything is going to be all right.
You can't be sure.
Yes, I can.
I'm sorry about that. How much do I owe you?
Oh, threepence halfpenny. Look, take the tray to the third-class waiting room. But don't tell anyone I said so.
You're very kind. Come on, Sheena.
Yes, Mama.
I must be going soft in the head.
You did what was right, Phoebe. That poor woman.
Oh, well, everyone's got their problems.
If he's got a bad chest, he shouldn't be out on a day like this.
Aren't you supposed to be cleaning the ladies' room, Ada?
Oh, just because you got out of bed wrong side this morning, don't take it out on me, young lady.
Oh!
Detonated in before the next train comes through. I'll catch it otherwise.
Is that Sydney? Talking to yourself?
Oh, Mr. Roberts, what are you doing here?
I've come to make sure you're behaving yourself.
cigarette, Mr. Roberts.
Nope. Since when did you start smoking?
Last week. One thing the pot's good for. You can smoke when you want.
Give it here.
Eh? What are you doing?
It's against regulations. And it's plain stupid when you're setting detonators, lad.
Well, I've seen others do it.
And I've seen them with their hands blown off. Now be told.
You smoke?
Not when I'm working with explosive. Anyway, I'm not much of an advertisement, am I? You want to end up like me? Now, how are you getting on with these detonators? Oh,
not too well.
Well, what's the problem?
I don't know. Some go off at the wrong time and others don't go off at all.
Well, you've got to put them in the right way round. Like that.
Oh.
And make sure it's under the line, not under a few stones.
Oh, I see.
Where are your buckets?
Oh, over here.
Well, shin up that signal gantry with them. Well, go on, then.
Right, oh. Hey. Why are you getting into trouble for working?
Let me worry about that. Are you up there?
Yes, Mr. Roberts.
And your buckets over the coming on signals. All right?
Yeah. I think so.
Well, come on down then. Now, when the signal drops to go, the bucket will clang and the driver waiting will know to move on.
I know. Mr. Roberts.
Can
I ask you a question?
Depends what it is. Well, go on, then.
Will you be having a drink before you see the doctor?
What would I do that for?
To dull the pain. Of the eye test.
The pain?
Well, I know what happens. Robson told me. They took a bit of the eye off to examine him.
And you believed him? Oh, lad.
What, the door cut you?
No. And it doesn't hurt.
Well, Robbo said it did.
He was pulling your leg. You've got nothing to worry about. It's me they're after.
How can you be sure?
You're not in the union, lad. I am.
Yeah, but I set the lamp, Mr. Roberts.
Morning.
Morning. Need any help?
No, I can manage. Thank you.
Hey, what's the blind man doing wandering about the sidings?
None of your business, Sidney. You like him. You've seen Nolt, right?
Yes, Mr. Roberts.
Hear anything, Hancock?
No.
Thought I heard something.
It's as quiet as the grave. The fog seems to have a life of its own out here.
How far can you see?
I don't know. 20 feet, maybe?
20? I can't see more than 10 feet.
20 feet, 10 feet, what difference does it make?
Could be the difference between keeping my job and losing it when that doctor we're carrying does his eye test.
Oh, we're back to that again, are we? Imagine how much it costs for a special train to carry two people.
More than the driver earns in a month.
There's only him and Cripps on this special. I'll creep back, slit their throats and throw them in the river. No one will ever know.
We're not by the river, we're at the stop after Gunthorpe.
No, you're wrong.
I've been driving this line for 15 years and I'm telling you...
I'll prove it! See? We're by the river.
Don't do that. Blowing the whistle is my responsibility.
It doesn't matter how to...
That's not the point. Safety is about good habits.
And you're an expert on safety. Or do I mean accidents?
Take that back.
All right, I shouldn't have said that.
Put some coal on. We're losing pressure.
Sir James must consider these tests to be very important, Mr. Cripps.
A matter of routine, nothing more.
Surely we would not have required a special train for a routine visit.
Then, let us say a matter of urgent routine, Doctor. I must say, I cannot understand why we are waiting so long. Time is getting on, after all.
Sir James was most insistent I had to cancel several appointments.
Oh, he is very single-minded about his railway.
Quite so. But you have to admit, it is out of the ordinary for the chairman of the Great Central Railway to prevail upon his personal physician to conduct eye tests on common workmen.
It is a delicate matter. We've been having some problems with malcontents. Your assistance will be invaluable.
If I am to be the instrument of their removal, Cripps, remember, I am a physician, not a surgeon.
The judicious use of information will be the downfall, Doctor. And not before time.
Every Jack thinks he is the equal of his master. Give men the idea of equality, and you let loose the instinct of chaos.
Quite so. The Empire was not built on equality. It was built on discipline and order. In temperament and ability, all men are different and should be valued according to their contribution.
We live in troubled times. The poor are better off than they have been for many a year, but everywhere one hears of dissatisfaction and mutterings of revolution. These trades unions seem to cause a great deal of trouble.
It is the unions who've been agitating for safety checks paid for by the railway for some time. They shall have their wish granted.
I must say, Mr. Cripps, we have been stationary for some considerable time.
I will call the driver from the observation dome and discover what is happening.
This fog is very bad. I must get back to London this evening. Sir James guaranteed as much.
We will do our best.
I have tickets for the marriage of Figaro. I am due to meet Sir James at 7:30.
Leave it to me, Doctor.
He was a hard worker. Who was? My fireman, Nicholson. The lad that died. Can't stop thinking about that morning. I blame myself.
Will you stop bellyaching and cheer up? If it's not the eye test, it's the accident. And if it's not that, it's Ruddy Nicholson.
You're not fit to mention his name.
I'm sick of hearing about him. Nicholson was old and now he's dead.
He was a better fireman than you'll ever be.
Driver!
Listen.
Driver! What's going on up there?
It's Cripps shouting from the observation dome. Answer him, then.
Yes, Mr. Cripps.
Can't you hurry it up? We've been waiting here for 40 minutes.
I have to wait for the signal.
Don't want another accident, do we, sir?
What did you say that for?
That's the bucket wheeler. We can go now. Get shoveling, then. Smoke, Jackal. You're not still sulking, are you?
No. Oh, it's freezing out here.
Working indoors, it's made you soft.
Can you hear that?
I can hear Tufnell tapping, if that's what you mean.
He's talking to someone.
It's not against the law, is it? Found the tape measure yet?
No. How about you?
No. We'll have to stride it.
That's not a very accurate way of measuring excess space.
It's near enough. Anyway, measuring the excess is a game the railway plays with the coal merchants.
Surely it's just a matter of charging for what they use.
The merchants rent a fixed area, but as coal gets delivered daily, they often end up using more space than they pay for.
So the railway measures up and then charges them?
The merchants have spies watching the coal yard, and as soon as they get wind we're measuring the excess, they rush down here and clear up to avoid the charge.
Oh.
That's why we're measuring in the fog without chains. You start with that heap and I'll do this one.
I wonder where he went.
Who?
The blind man.
What's so interesting about him?
It's a puzzle. He comes to Victoria every Tuesday and Wednesday, same train.
17. So do lots of people.
But he never leaves the station. I've checked.
Where does he go then?
That's what I'd like to know. I don't like unsolved puzzles.
I've got a better puzzle than that. Miss Josie.
I thought you'd solved that.
I'm working out a strategy.
She'll go out with you, won't she? She seemed interested enough.
Yes, but she's got spirit. Takes more than a night out to catch her.
I mean to say, like what exactly?
A cause. A wrong to right. A mystery to solve. Yeah, that's the way to snare her heart.
Oh, I see.
Want to know whether we shall get to Liverpool today.
There should be a third-class service sometime this afternoon, but it is very difficult to give an exact time.
Is the fog bad all the way to Liverpool?
I believe the newspapers provide weather reports and forecasts.
You must have reports from the Railway Telegraph.
That is no concern of yours.
On the contrary, my family bought their tickets in good faith. If we are to be delayed, it is incumbent upon you to provide at least an indication of how long that delay might be.
I have told you it is impossible to be exact about the time.
Then kindly ascertain if there are delays due to fog all the way to Liverpool. I shall wait here.
Oh, very well.
Mr. Cripps, you finally made it.
Hey, there is no need to state the obvious, Braddock. This is Dr. Pettigrew.
Doctor?
Mr. Braddock, there is a lot to get through. Perhaps you could show me the room.
What room would that be?
Where he can conduct his tests, ma'am.
Somewhere quiet and private and with reasonable light.
All the rooms are in use.
But what about your office, Braddock? It's empty most of the time. At least it should be if you're doing your job properly.
Very well, Mr. Crick.
Come on, then. Have the men assembled.
Hey, you wouldn't be trying to avoid me, Joe Braddock. I've come to pick up my coat.
You need the goods, Clark Pugsley.
Mr. Pugsley, I'm a valued customer. I haven't paid any excess for the last 2 years. Now, that's right, isn't it, Joe?
Mr. Braddock, here are the invoices.
Right, thank you, Robson. Thank you. Here you are, Pugsley.
Hey, is this right? When did you measure up?
This morning.
In the fog, you sneaky devil. What about all the free sacks you've had over the years?
I never asked for them.
No, you didn't send them back, neither. You haven't heard the last of this.
You won that round all right, sir.
Yes, well, you can go and help Mr. Pugsley load his wagons, then come back to my office and see the doctor.
Yes, Mr. Braddock.
I have inquired of the Railway Telegraph, madam, and visibility is...
I warned you, Laura.
Hamish, where's Sheena?
I told you not to fill her head with sentimental rubbish.
What are you talking about?
She's gone. Disappeared.
She's collapsed. Hamish, are you all right? Hamish!
Miss Braddock, Dr. Pettigrew. Let me move.
I'm the doctor here. Here, let me see.
Stand back. Give him some room.
Can you help him?
He's feverish. How long has he been like this?
A week. Maybe two.
Here, drink this. Come on, man. That's it.
What's that medicine?
Whiskey. It's the best I can do. Your husband is a sick man. In my opinion, he should be at home. He's not fit to travel.
Oh, Sheena! Sheena!
My daughter has disappeared. I must go and find her. Can you watch my husband for a moment?
But we have work to do. The station is not a free hospital.
Tip Marsh, sit with him until his wife returns.
As you wish, station master. What's the matter?
Nothing. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean to say, people don't cry for no reason.
I can't go on. I just can't.
No such word as can't. That's what Mr. Tidmarsh says. Look, come on. I know someone who'll help. A nice lady who works nearby.
Put a tea in one ice finger, Phoebe.
Coming up.
You know earlier?
What?
When you were talking about Jackson.
We're still thinking about men, are we?
No, I'm interested.
You don't have to tell me.
You said you liked Jackson. I just want to know why.
Oh, he's sensible and reliable. He said he was going to do something, he'd do it.
It isn't very exciting.
Oh, women always want exciting men until they're married to them. They soon change the tune when they're struggling to manage a family while their exciting husband is out going airless every night.
I see. And you think Robson would be like that?
No, but you do. Here, take this tray, will you? Poor woman will have died of thirst if she doesn't get it.
All right. Hey, madam.
Thanks. You speak of the devil, Gilsie. I think Mr. Jackson wants you.
Well, Jackson?
Sorry to bother you, Miss Gilsie. But she here is a bit upset.
Oh, what's the matter?
I don't want to go to Canada.
Why ever not? Besides, a wonderful country.
What's going on?
She is getting cold feet about emigrating.
A cup of hot sweet tea and a jam donut. That'll book her up.
Yes.
Come on, Sheena.
Thank you. Phoebe will look after you.
Thanks for helping.
Well, you'd better go. Find the mother.
Yes. Well, Miss Josie, there was something else.
Mm.
I mean to say, I wondered if you could help me with a puzzle.
What are you talking about?
You know the blind man with the stick who comes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays? Mm. Well, he never leaves the station. I've checked.
Where does he go then?
That's the puzzle. I just wondered if you would watch out for him and see where he goes.
All right, Jacko.
Excuse me, madam.
Have you seen my daughter?
Yes, she's with us.
Sheena, darling. Why did you run away?
I don't want to live in another country without father.
Oh, don't cry. Please. We both love you.
Do you have to travel?
Can't you rest until your husband is better?
Hamish lost his job as a school teacher because of his illness. He set his heart on a new start for us all. We have nowhere else to go.
Now, can you read the letters with your right eye?
Yes, sir.
Read them, then.
I have done.
No. No. What? We've been delayed by fog and sickness. Must we also be plagued by idiocy?
Read the letters aloud, Sip.
Oh. QAPTRJE.
Very good. Now, put your jacket on, lad.
Yes, sir.
Lamb MacDonald seemed in a bad way, Doctor.
I'll be surprised if he lasts another fortnight.
If someone is not fit to travel, they should stay at home instead of obtaining free medical attention from the railway. Go on, lad.
Eh?
What are you waiting for? Send in the next man.
Oh, right, sir.
What is happening?
The Oxford. Very painful, then.
No, you're to go in, Mr. Roberts.
Well, what's the verdict? Are you going blind or what?
I don't know. They didn't tell me.
Why not?
The information is confidential, Roberts. Doctors cost money. If you wish to know the results, you will have to pay for them.
I'm not taking the test, then.
Me neither. That's right. No results, no test.
In that case, you will all be dismissed for disobeying a company directive. Is that what you want?
Not much of a choice, Mr. Cripps.
Heads they win, tails we lose.
All right, then. Get on with it.
Good. Now, stand over there and cover your right eye.
Like this?
Yes. Look at the chart I'm holding. Now, can you tell me the largest letter you can see?
I.
There's no I on the card.
I mean, yes, I can tell you.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Braddock!
That's your train coming to take you to Liverpool and the ship to Canada.
A big ship full of people like us, off to start the new life.
I don't want to go.
You won't say that when you get there. Canada's a fine place, full of vast prairies and high mountains and air so clear and clean, not like here.
I don't want to go if you're not there.
And why wouldn't I be there?
You're going to die. Grandma told me.
Grandma should not have said that.
But it's true. Isn't it?
It might be true, but it doesn't matter.
Why not?
Remember Moses? He took his children to the promised land, and they prospered, even though he never entered himself.
Miss Josie, I've done it.
Oh, Jacko, help Mrs. MacDonald with the luggage.
What?
Go on.
Oh, yes, all right.
Come on, Sheena. Let's find a seat for you all.
Oh,
Sit there, Sheena. Hamish, will you be all right?
Don't you worry about us. We'll be fine. There you are. That's everything.
Thank you. Oh, you better go.
That's right, Miss Josie. It's only a short stop on account of them being so late.
Goodbye, then. And good luck. Goodbye. I hope they make it.
Canada's an awful long way.
Why does life single out some for pain and others for pleasure? It seems so unjust.
It's a mystery. Oh, I nearly forgot. That's what I came to tell you.
What?
The blind man. I've discovered where he goes.
The results will be with you by Friday, Mr. Cripps.
Thank you, Doctor. Shall we go to the platform?
Good afternoon, Mr. Braddock.
Dr. Pettigrew. Mr. Gray?
I wouldn't get too excited, Braddock. I'm merely escorting the doctor to his train. I intend to examine the traffic returns before I leave Victoria.
As you wish.
You are still under suspension, Robert.
Well, Joe, how did I do?
I don't know. Doctor wasn't saying.
Oh, I keep forgetting. It's not up to you. You're only the station master. You haven't got any power.
Cripps doesn't like me any more than he likes you.
He wants rid of me, Joe. And I've got a feeling he's going to succeed.
Not necessarily.
What's that supposed to mean?
Wait and see. Look, why don't you meet me in the station hotel later? I haven't had a decent drink since you were suspended.
Mr. Paddock.
Jackson, Josie, don't tell me she's got you running after her now.
No, sir. I mean to say, it's a mystery and we've solved it.
What are you talking about?
It's about the blind man, Dad. The one who comes Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
That's no concern of yours, Miss Josie.
On the contrary, Mr. Robert.
I'll not be talked down to, but I jumped up Clark. Keep your nose out of it, lad.
That's enough, Fred.
That's all right, Mr. Braddock. I will not be intimidated by Mr. Robert.
Then you're a bloody fool.
What is going on here?
Nothing that concerns you.
Robert, leave the station immediately.
All right. But keep your gob shut, Jackson.
Robert!
Go on, Fred, please.
I'm going.
Now, what is all this about, Mr. Jackson?
Well? What can you hear?
I don't think this wheel's got long left.
Are you sure?
You listen.
No, it's no good. I can't tell.
Someone's coming.
Well, I can't hear anything.
There's the blind man, Mr. Cripps. With Tufnell, the wheel tapper.
What's he doing here? Do you know, Braddock?
No, sir. Tufnell. Afternoon, Mr. Braddock. Miss Josie.
Who is this man?
It's my cousin, Albert.
Is he employed by the railway?
In a manner of speaking, I am.
And what does that mean?
Well, I can do my job, Mr. Cripps. I can hear well enough if a wheel has failed, or if it's sound, but if it's in between, well, I'm just not as sharp as I was.
You are a wheel tapper. If your hearing is defective, you cannot do your job.
No. Albert's got good ears. He has to have. He's a piano tuner. Do you see? Well, with his help, I can manage fine.
Tufnell's work has been perfectly satisfactory.
The fact that no accidents have derived from this dubious practice is simply a matter of good fortune. Nothing more.
Oh, I beg you, sir. Give me a chance. Wheel tapping's all I know.
The penalty for breaching company regulations is instant dismissal. My hands are tied.
I'll not get another job at my age. Can't you help, Mr. Braddock?
I don't think so, Tufnell.
Braddock, escort Tufnell and his relation from railway property.
Say, come on, Tufnell. Albert.
Congratulations, Mr. Jackson.
Your vigilance and perseverance do you great credit.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Miss Braddock, your father should be very proud of you. Good afternoon.
We did it, Miss Josie. We did it.
What did we do?
We solved the mystery like Sherlock Holmes. I didn't think he was a piano tuner, but when you think about it, it all adds up.
We did it. Shut up.
But, I mean to say, Miss Josie. What did I say? Miss Josie.
Waiting for young Jackson, Josie.
You'd like that, I suppose. After all, he is a clerk. Better than a common porter.
He seemed to be getting on pretty well before.
He's an idiot, and I was a fool for listening to him. In that poor man, the sack.
It wasn't your fault.
Wasn't anybody else's.
At it again. Don't you two ever stop.
We're not arguing, Ada.
Could have fooled me.
I got tucking all the sack today.
He couldn't have carried on much longer. Once the hearing starts to go, that's it.
But it's so harsh. It'll be destitute.
Life is harsh. Look at me. If I didn't do my job as well as I do, I'd be out on the air and quite right, too.
You do your job well.
I have to. You wouldn't put up with me if I didn't. Bitter tonight. I can't stand here and catch me dead. I'll see you back at the house, Douglas.
All right, Ada. You still think we should put her out on the street?
No. Come on, Dad. Let's go on.
I'm meeting Fred in the station hotel.
Oh, what time will you be back?
When I've had enough.
Ma will be worried.
While I earn the money that keeps the family going, I'll do as I please. Now, you get yourself on.
No. I'm going for a drink in the station hotel, too.
You better not.
Well, come on, then.
Josie!
Fog Warnings, Episode 4 of Victoria Station. The part of Tidmarsh was played by Philip Jackson. Braddock, Sean Baker. Josie, Julia Ford. Ada, Pauline Letts. Fred Roberts, John Hartley. Mr. Cripps, Gavin Muir. Phoebe, Becky Hindley. Sid, Tom Bevan. And Jackson, Joshua Tau. Wheeler was played by Tom Knight. Robson, Lloyd Notice. Hancock, Nicholas Collett. Sheena, Deborah Berlin. Mrs. MacDonald, Jilly Bond. Mr. MacDonald, Peter Yap. Dr. Pettigrew, David Holt. Tufnell, Don McCorkindale. And Blind Man by Michael Tudor Barnes. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Technical presentation by Richard Beedsmore, Keith Graham and David Blount. Episode 4 of Victoria Station was written by Steve Chambers and directed by Celia DeWolf.
Yes, nasty business, this accident, Braddock. Cripps tells me it was sabotage, a signalman with agreement.
There may be another explanation, Sir James.
Yes, well... Right, just stroll around the station before the inquiry, I think. Gentlemen?
Be assured, Braddock. There is nothing to be gained by resistance. Signalman Roberts is finished.